Ja miałem włóczęgo w Ferrucki, chyba. When we introduced the Ilimalizima project, and out of that, 243 was prioritized for that purpose. And then 2009 and 10, it was 367, and then the total to date is 977 million. So that's the amount of money we're talking about in terms of MAFISA. Currently, the committed MAFISA to date is 520 million. Transferred to intermediaries is 240 million for production loan purposes. The remainder is 336 million reprioritized for a mechanization program. Now I must then also explain this one. The reprioritization on mechanization program comes from the redirection that we are getting from the government to say these are the key priorities that should inform government expenditure in terms of supporting communities and rural areas specifically. And then we have picked up that you'll realize that the population, especially in the former homeland areas, there was quite a number of land that was under cultivation, which was previously supported by the homeland government, which are currently lying fallow. So the government has picked up a program to assist all those lands to be plowed and cultivated to improve on food security. And then we are reprioritizing some of this money for that purpose. So there is a new program that we have already begun to roll out. We call it a mechanization program. We're working together with the provincial department on this one so that we provide some of the services and the provincial department provide some of the services. And then out of the 336, there is about 146 that has been reprioritized to distressed farms. Now, when I spoke to distressed farms, this was one program that we also went out to work together with the land bank. There were farms that were to be repossessed by the land bank, and we worked together with the land bank. We compiled a list of these farms. We called them distressed farms, farms that we could no longer allow them to go back to the open market through the land bank, and then we put aside 146 million to assist those farms to put them back into production. We are in the process, and we are finalizing that with the land bank to make sure that these farms are being assisted properly. So this is the explanation why we are referring. The actual implementation has not begun. We are finalizing a process. The two departments with the land bank, the three departments, the three ministers are working together, which is Treasury, Rural Development, and Agriculture, because these projects cut across to those three departments. Because there is issue of land, there is issue of production, and there is also Treasury, because that's where currently the land bank is housed. So the three ministers are in discussion in finalizing a cabinet memorandum to finalize this process. This table gives sort of a quick summary in terms of the fourth quarter performance, that is January to March. I will not go into the details of each, but I will quickly just give an indication of what is happening. You see in the table provided, the first column we are given the institutions that are assisting as intermediaries for MAFISA. And then you see the amount as up till January 2010, the beneficiaries that have benefited from each of these institutions, the February amount, the beneficiaries, and so on. And then we've got the total beneficiaries and the total amount that has been given to these institutions. Then I'll look at the last two columns. There is the Rural Finance Corporation that has been given 2.8 million that has 18 beneficiaries that have been assisted through that program. And the National Emerging Red Meat Producers, they have 3.5, close to 3.6 million, and then they have loaned about 34 beneficiaries. There is Mahalis Koporasi, which got 5.3 million. They have got about 121 beneficiaries. The Sanganani Farming Finance, 2.1 million. They have given 50 beneficiaries. The Peulwana Financial Services, they got 1.7 or close to 1.8, and they've got 83 beneficiaries. And then Cap Agri, they were given 200,000. They've got one beneficiary. And then we've got the MADC and the Gauteng Economic Propeller, which actually are not active, but they've been part of the system to assist them to begin to move. And then the total amount for those 3 months, for that quarter, it's 15.8 million that has been given, and the beneficiaries that benefited, there was 307 beneficiaries for that quarter. Then this table then gives the performance for accredited institutions that are helping us to deal with this. Then you'll see the institutions are given, and then the amount approved, the signed terms, and the geographic operations where they are operating, the amount transferred to the institution, the amount disbursed for loan to date, and the beneficiary. So that is the information that we got in terms of the details of each of these institutions. And then you'll see that at the bottom, the total amount approved is 420 million, and then the amount transferred to the institutions is 240 million. That talks to the amount that we have already indicated earlier on, that this is the amount that has been transferred to the institution. And then the total number of beneficiaries that should benefit from this is 1.4 million. 1,465 beneficiaries that should benefit from this amount.
And this one beneficiary has them for 10 million.
The 70,000 check, the Gauteng one, it's 70,000, yes. That's the one for Gauteng, yes. I must indicate that the strength of this accredited institution varies a lot. And we are currently working on that because we realize some provinces are being disadvantaged because of how these institutions are working. So at the current moment, we are looking at some of these institutions to allow them to work across provinces so that beneficiaries who sit in other provinces with very weak institutions can be assisted by the stronger ones. So we are currently working on that to make sure that the beneficiaries are able to reach this far. So some of these are doing very well in the areas where they are. And then the last two, which is South African Sugar Association and the Freshstat Cooperative Preparers, this is how they've performed up to date. These are the new ones you'll see. The signed term is for 2010, 2011. So these are the new ones that have just come on board, and we still need to monitor how they are doing, how they are performing in those areas. In our interaction with the provinces, some provinces have given us interest because they've heard some of these are doing very well in other provinces. So they've invited actually those institutions to come into their provinces and become active there so that they can assist beneficiaries in those areas. Since inception, a total amount of about 11,000 emerging farmers access the production loan from MAFIS. To date, 560 direct jobs were created and 7,500 job opportunities created through seasonal labor. average repayment rate is currently standing at 75%, which we are comfortable with, although we need to tighten some monitoring in some areas, but we have got about 75% repayment rate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tichi. Maybe we should hear, let's allow the lender.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, DJ, and thanks, Chair. It's an honor for us to sit here, to stand here in front of this committee to talk about the developments that are taking place with regard to Agri-BEE. But, Chair, maybe before we can start to discuss the dynamics of the project, of the expenditures, it is important that we give a scope as to the developments of the events that took place with regard to Agri-BEE, but we also talk about Nofisa because they are similar, and I'm sure that the members will ask questions with that regard. Both those funds, Agri-BEE and Nofisa, belong to the department. Both the funds belong to the Department of Agriculture, and the Land Bank acts as an agent for the management of those funds. But unfortunately, along the way, the management controls, especially at the Land Bank, were not supposed to be where they were supposed to be, and the money ended up getting lost or ending up in wrong hands. With regard to Mafisa, where the farmers were expected to come to the Land Bank to borrow money, and they had to provide the names of the mentors or expertise that will help them and assist them in that endeavor. What ended up happening is that the Land Bank officials and the farmers colluded, and they brought in people who were working in the farms, the majority of them who were, you know, illiterate, to sign some forms and pretend they were representing those people. And of course, the money ended up in the hands of exactly the same people who are working for the Land Bank and the farmers. But Chair, we're happy to indicate that since the investigation that took place, we now have about six people that have been arrested. One senior member of the Land Bank who was fired about 3 years back, and about four farmers and one people from the Agri-Fund. With Agri-BEE, it was something very, very similar, where the Department of Agriculture was supposed to make an assessment on the equity side of agriculture. There was a team that was working on that, and once they were happy in agriculture, that they had the right people, those people were supposed then to be transferred to the Land Bank, upon which the Land Bank was supposed to do its own assessment. And once that assessment had been done, then the money was supposed to be dispersed. But again, there was a lack of controls, and due to the lack of controls, the money ended up in the wrong hands. But we are happy to indicate that from the discussions we've had with the police, that they will be arrested very, very soon. In fact, we are expecting them to have taken place by now. But it's been taking quite a long, and we've been promising for quite some time, and it should be very unwise for them to commit that by tomorrow. But the police are on top of the issue here. Now, Chair, with regard to Agri-BEE either, initially the Land Bank had got a qualification that was 08 or 0708 primarily because of the issues that had been raised. Because the land bank had a qualification, it meant that we needed to review and review the way we're doing business and put in controls and ensure that the money that belongs to government is managed efficiently, which is our job, but over and above that, to ensure that the money reaches the people it is meant to reach. We then assessed with the Department of Agriculture. We then drew up a new agreement that was effective this year in April. This agreement has stricter controls as who should qualify, how the controls will be made, who signs, what committees manage best. Because we picked up the biggest challenge out of both of these funds was that individuals were given too much power to approve just by signing. Now we're creating committees that are chaired, that report to other committees, and we have the audit committee that follows the trade to see whether that has been followed or the people that got money do deserve the money, because some of the people that got the money, especially Agri-BEE, it went to the lawyers, and from the lawyers it disappeared. We have those controls now. So we have tighter control and the procedures for payment which should be followed at every moment in time. While, Chair, we have already agreed on a BEA agreement which has been signed by myself and the DG, we now have to finalize the operational manual. Because it's got an audit issue, it means that it has to be approved by an external auditor to see that it's tight. And that is where we are. We haven't finalized that, it has not been signed. In the meantime, we found that instead of going forward and dispersing money when we don't have control will not be the best option for government and for the institutions that we have to do that job. And since then, there hasn't been any payment that was made for this year. Just a brief, the first depositor, money depositor at the bank was 06, and that was an amount of 97 million. But unfortunately, the whole 97 million is under forensic investigation. Now, the question is government going to, do we have a recourse? In other words, are we going to return some of the assets that has been used unwisely? From the police and the asset forfeiture, they have indicated that we might be able, not we might, we will be returning some of those money that went astray. The investigations are continuing, I've already indicated, but we've been informed and I hold meetings with them almost twice a month that we have reached the pinnacle, the highest form, that at any moment in time, just like in Mafisa, we'll see people being arrested for what they've done. Now, Chair, these are the funds that have been received. The initial deposit on top was 47 million. Then between 06 and March 2010, there was a deposit of 201 million. This includes the 47 million deposit in March this year. And the question wants a clarification on that. Between 06 October to 08 June, 97 million was paid out by the land bank. And unfortunately, the whole amount, as I've already indicated, of 97 million is under investigation. So we have a subtotal of about 104 million, and there's an interest of about 10 million that's been earned. Until we finalize the operating model and ensure that the controls are tight, the money will then be dispersed. So the balance in the bank account is roughly about 115. I think the DG could elaborate and indicate that they've already set in a program as to when to spend the money. I think DG, by October or so, by October there is a process that they'll put in. But by then, we should have very, very tight controls. Exactly, a good example of the tighter controls that have been put in is a presentation that was made by the DG, where money now doesn't go to individuals, but it goes to institutions which have an SLA, service level agreement with agriculture, and they know what they should be done, and there's audit trail of everything they are doing, which was non-existent before. So yes, Chair, we're sitting with about a balance of about 115 million, but this is expected to begin to be dispersed by end of October. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to present to honorable members of the House. First, Chair, may I convey an apology from Mr. Obaloi, the DBSA Chief Executive, who could not make this meeting due to prior official commitments in Pretoria. Our apology also, Chair, as honorable members will notice shortly, due to the circumstances that impacted our involvement in the ILIMA Ilima Fund, we did not submit a presentation prior as per request by the committee in the invite. Chair, the team from DBSA is myself, Paul Kiboka. I am the group executive for the DBSA Development Fund. Next to me on the right is Mr. Lennox Gakhane, who is the head of the DBSA Agency Services. Agency services, Chair. Chairperson, members have before them the bill for the appropriation of an amount of money from the National Revenue Fund for the requirements of the state in respect of the financial year ending 3rd March 2009. Chair, under Vote 23, Agriculture, Subsection 4 provides for the transfer of $60 million to the DBSA for production and resource management. Chair, in terms of this appropriation,
Mr. Kabula, if I may ask, you say you think we don't have a formal presentation?
Chair, we did not have a formal presentation. As I'll be indicating through my motivation, Chair, we had a number of factors that impacted our involvement in the fund, and Chair, in terms of this appropriation, the Department of Agriculture approached the DBSA during the third quarter of the financial year to provide support on an agency basis towards the implementation of the ILIMA ILITREMA campaign. And this was, Chair, through setting up a project management unit, fund management capacity, and a project steering committee to provide oversight, as well as technical support, project monitoring, and evaluation for the fund. Chair, following extensive discussions with the Department and National Treasury, Chair, to ensure compliance with the requirements of the PFMA, the bank reassessed skills available in the institution to effectively implement the agency program and to account for the appropriated grant expenditure. Chairperson, as honorable members will recall, after restructuring of the South African Development Finance System in 1996, the DBSA mandate was refocused to the development of infrastructure. As a result, Chair, the bank over the years lost to other DFIs and the labor market its expertise in agricultural project management,
in extension and agriculture economics, as the DG and the chief executive have been indicating in terms of the implementation requirements. Chair, in that regard, the DBSA Development Fund Board resolved not to take on the agency program and advised the department to approach the land bank as the appropriate DFI. Consequently, Chairperson, the $60 million was not transferred to the DBSA. And hence, Chair, we did not have anything to report in that regard, and we didn't have a submission. Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Members.
Would you like us to clarify that part? Because according to the report, your report, we see that 2008-9 was, I mean, $243 million. Was the fund that was earmarked for Ilima Maritima, was it DBSA says it was never formally transferred to them? Is that your accurate or the correct understanding?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This was our understanding that after a decision that the money would not be taken to DBSA, then it was then rearranged to go to other institutions. Thank you.
Can you just give us some kind of information here? Because it means that the government or department had identified a need for this, a gap that existed, earmarked funds. And now those funds are somewhere. And now, what is happening with this program?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This project was in fact implemented. The money that we're talking about, the $60 million, was indeed transferred to the Eastern Cape Rural Finance Corporation, and then the project of Ilima Litima was implemented by the Eastern Cape, and that was the arrangement that we had with regard to those funds. I think it was the year, if I remember very well, it was 2008-2009. We may give, because they have given us a full report on that one. There is a detailed report how the money was spent, and all the details were given to us. The CFO can add if there is anything I've left out, Chair.
In fact, I just want to allow members to engage. But according to your slide, what is the budget allocation? 2008-2009, the allocation for $243 million. That was reprioritized for Ilima. Now, you gave the global picture there. What is not clear is specifically for this particular program, what is the situation? Now, we're speaking about $60 million. And I think that if we may recollect, the reason for agriculture for wanting to transfer this fund to DBSA is because there was a problem around expenditure. Hence, then you came with the idea of perhaps relocating this fund to DBSA. We hear now that it never actually took place. Now, exactly where, what is happening with this money? Where is it? Where is it? We just want to understand. I don't know if members.
Thank you, Chair. I think we must actually apologize for not coming up with a report, full report for Ilima and Lesema, because our take was we needed to report on the spending for Masisa. But if I were to just off the cuff give some indication, was that the 243 million, there was a distribution which was allocated to different provinces based on the weighted average that the department made, and the 60 million which DDSA did not take was redirected to Eastern Cape, as the DDA has explained. But what we could ask this committee to allow us is to provide a full report in terms of the Ilima Lesema spending, because currently the Ilima Lesema project is having for this financial year 200 million, which has been allocated to different provinces and it's been dispersed through DORA, the Division of Revenue Act.
Okay, we'll come back. Therefore, you want to add something?
Nothing.
Fine. Okay. Another member. Honorable Khaled Blom.
When will we receive this report? Is it possible that they can give us an indication on that? That report that they... Can we have that in the next 14 days? Is it possible? I just want to ask, because I think then we will have more questions perhaps when we have this report.
I thought that you would suggest that if we could receive this report within this particular time. Now you're asking the department.
No, okay, Chair, then I ask can they can provide it for us before the end of August. In 14 days, it's the 2020, say the 21st.
You are a good member. The department says that you are a good member. Honorable sir. Chair, thank you. Since the Honorable Khaled Blum's mathematics is not tonight, David, in any case, doesn't matter. I was very impressed with the new word used for corruption. It's called what? Used unwisely. It's a nice word for that, Chair. But I was very pleased, you know, that we went on this oversight visit last week in the Eastern Cape, and we saw just millions of hectares of land lying there, not being used at all. And I was very pleased to hear, you know, Mafisa saying that, you know, this is one area where they're going to spend money, because there's been millions and millions, for instance, pumped into irrigation schemes which are not working in the ex-Transkei. But what worries me is that the money are going out through the institutions, and can the gentlemen tell me, please, or the presenters tell me, is there any check, or who's checking that, you know, this money is actually spent on the purpose for which it was intended, and that, in fact, say, for instance, we give a loan to a farmer for some purpose, whether it's for mechanization or whether it's for what, do we check that that's actually used for that, and who checks that? Is it the institution, and do they report back on that? Because, you know, I'm worried, because we know, Chair, that of the farms that have been transferred to previously disadvantaged farmers already, 95% of those farms are not farmed anymore. And I'm concerned about, not properly farmed, and I'm concerned about food security. And then we look at the land lying there in the Eastern Cape, and it just boggles the mind to think that that land's lying there, nothing's happening to it.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, with me, I sort of get some clarity. The beneficiaries That the running totals of beneficiaries, I don't know if those were the same beneficiaries that were getting continued support or those are new beneficiaries all the time. Mm-hmm. And then linked, I think, to Honorable Swartz's question, the actual effect that money is having, targets versus outputs or outcomes, how that monitored. But to me, the most concerning thing is that there's such a low uptake of the money that were allocated for these projects. And then you've got these institutions that are there to be able to ensure that these things take place on the ground, but they're sitting with the bulk of their money in their accounts, and the money's not actually going to where it's supposed to be going. Now, why is that?
Chairman, I know the Nafisa's submission here is, I know it's on a piece of paper and it's very difficult to really to see the real impact on the ground. The Economic Development Committee paid a visit to Northwest a week ago, and the complaint said also the purpose of the visit was to investigate the success of small businesses in the Northwest Province. And Chair, what came through from most of the recipients of these particular loans from Kula and so forth is that there is a tremendous amount of red tape involved and so forth. My question to Mafisa is that have they reduced their degree of red tape when it comes to applications and so forth? Because the small business, and we had some public hearings, they said that it was so abstract and so advanced that it was impossible for them to really grasp what loans and these sort of things really held and what was the implications of it. So I'd like to have they reduced their red tape when it comes to applications for emerging farmers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would first like to understand this page on the accredited, because even if this is the last part, the page on accredited performance per accredited institution. On the first page, for my visa. This one and the other one. Yeah. There you have the total as 420 million. And if you go to the other page, you have two Sugar Association and Fresh Start. They have 50-50. And this amount was also approved. Even if it was not used, even if it was not transferred, as cost maybe it should be where is it recorded, because it's approved. Did it just stay there in your coffers and not transferred? And then it leads to the question, how do you recommend these institutions? Because we see that there are some money not used somewhere, but they are recommended, because these ones are the same as the one this side, even if it's not, the amount is not totally recommended. Why is that money within your whole financial record? Is it recorded, approved, just approved, and what? I don't know. Because I could have expected that 100 to come to be added into this one if I calculate well. because it must be recorded somewhere. And maybe my calculations, my understanding of accounting is poor. And again, the criteria you use, because really some of this money, they spend very, very little on the amount you've given them. Then it comes to how do you approve, have come to the conclusion that they should get this amount, because this is what you do, you monitor and know that they do such and such a thing about it. That's the criteria that you should use. And Chair, I think I wish the department could have been very honest with us and not to wait for us to get information from the DBSA, because in their presentation they knew that there was debt money that was somewhere. Even if they say they did not prepare for it, I think that's very unfair. And we need honesty when they come here, which means they were not honest with us. Had we not had the DBSA, we wouldn't be knowing. We'll be thinking that the DBSA is involved in all this. And we don't know, again, what happened to the money. Even if it's the 243 amount, which was there, and they now say they were allocated 200 million for this financial year. And I think it's very bad for the money being allocated, and accountability and proaction doesn't come from the department. I don't think they have to wait for us to come and question them on some of the things which they are keeping away from us. And I recommend that, because they have the report about Lisima, as they say, it's just that they didn't know that you like it, we'll ask for it. Seeing that they have a report, and that's what they should be doing every day, I'm going to recommend that we get the report before Friday, because we must submit our third quarter report, which is already our fourth quarter report, which is already very late. And we must, by Friday, we must be having a full report and submit this to Parliament, so they know what the Lisima is doing. Then we ask that we have that report and we include it in our first fourth quarter report. They have all the facts around them. It's not for them to go and look for information. They have them. And their understanding is very chronic, Chairperson. Thanks very much.
Now, I think that that's why we said at the beginning, we invite everyone, so that nobody says in the absence of the other, the one that is not in the meeting is the one that is responsible. Now, everyone is here. We get a total picture.
Yeah.
But we'll accept their statement that they were not aware that they were not supposed to report on this particular matter. But I agree with you that, DBSA, they come here, they know that they don't have this money. They have nothing to report. Instead of informing us that, no, this money doesn't reside with us. Go to agriculture, so that we should have directed the invitation to the right people. You know, the way they work sometimes leaves much to be desired.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I just want to, in this money that the DBA spoke about, if maybe they could also explain which budget year we're talking. Because in the slide 3, there is close to a billion that they talked about in terms of the transfer. Is it included in that spread of 5 year in terms of Masisa budget allocation? The kind of 60 million we're talking about. Then the second question that I just want to ask, Chair, the 146 reprioritized for the distressed farms, that's the question I want to ask.
Mm.
What's the list of these farms that are being distressed? And what are we talking, the scale? What is the scale of it in terms of the medium, small, What is the scale? How big is this? And I just want to check the in terms of the period, including the period of assistance that we're talking about. What is the is it 2 year? If you try and help the child to walk, there's a time that the child is able to walk. Now I want to check the sustainability and monitoring that in fact is implemented in ensuring that you are not really just doing that and actually not looking at sustainability. And that links to the question that Honorable Snell asked earlier in terms of the repeat of the institution. So I just want to ask that. And is the word, I also want to understand this word, distressed fund. What does that mean? And what is this criteria that is used? Is it maybe before I walk ahead of you, if you could just explain that to me so that we understand it, because there could be lots of interpretation as I'm sitting here. Then I want to agree with the. Yeah, so I will hesitate to walk ahead of the event. Let me hear what the distress is before we get into the discussion. And I want to agree that the report should be at least by Friday. We should get that report. And I also have an interest in the... No, I don't agree with him. Because actually in the sheet in 2089, there is a small... aspects there, 222.1, but 243 was real reprioritized for ILIM. So this information is at hand. They could give us that information by a click of a button, actually. Friday is the outer period. So that's let me leave it there, Chair. Let's hear what the department has to say. I mean, the Masista, the DG, what they have to say in terms of explaining that particular question.
Yeah, but thanks. Now, I must tell you, I was very conservative, I said 14 days, but I think it's very clear that we might have that on Friday, as that's our Friday work. The other thing they also must provide us, that is with the agreement with institutions, because if you look at this document, when money was transferred, if you look on one of the tables, money was transferred, there are some institutions that don't even use 20% of their money. Now, if you, all of them, not one of them, use all their money. So that's unacceptable. That's totally unacceptable. So if they budget, then they must indicate for what they are going to use it. And up till now, they don't even use 20% of it. So it's unacceptable, Chair. We wait. I must say I will, on Friday when this report will come, it may be. I think we must call them again, because my view is, when you look at this paper, I must tell you that's unacceptable. Thank you, Chief.
Just a small thing. What happened if the farm they crossed the line beyond distressed situation? I just want to ask this question. I want to know, Chair, how many, what are we talking, and I'm sure that there must have been, there is a list of those that have went beyond the line, and therefore they are no longer operational, as we speak, like the Honourable Member here was saying. Does the department have the data that one can look at a glance, that this was the situation yesterday or 10 years ago? Because of these challenges and distress, this is now the situation that we have. We have 10,000 farms, now you have 8,000 farms because the others crossed the line. They were not able to be pulled out of that distressed situation, and therefore they've gone down. So that you at least have a kind of a picture that you can see, a global picture of what is happening in terms of the sector itself.
Thank you very much,
honorable members. You know, that's from the lighter side, the honorable Bamashagan. You're speaking about this 2 years time, you're learning to crawl and walk. You know, during the World Cup, I had nothing to do. I watched soapies, you know. I watched another one, Zone 14. I saw a man, a grown-up man, is not over 2 years. He can't walk. He uses a wheelchair when everyone is there. But when people disappear, he jumps out of the wheelchair. I'm not sure what are you talking about that. You must be speaking about that one. We wait for everyone to disappear and jump out of the wheelchair and hide people. But then last year, either a small child or this man who pretends that he can't walk, you know. You asked about this question about the distressed farms. But what I learned the Honorable Farm President referred to our visit to the Eastern Cape. I mean, a lot of people were telling us about drought, the schools, clearly. So, we would really like to understand this terminology of distress. What's meant by distress? How far does it go? Thank you. Over to you. Sefo? Yeah, thank you, Chet. We will share the answers also with the CFO and DBSA. We agree, Chair, we can submit the report by Friday. What I wanted to explain is that the report will be divided into three sections. It will be a report that deals with the Agri-BEE fund, it will deal with Ilimalitsima, and it will deal with Mafisa. We know we haven't presented anything here about Ilimalitsima, but we'll deal with those three. Although we deal with more than those three, there are other areas beyond those three that we are dealing with, but our understanding is that we have to report on those three. So we will then do the report and submit it by Friday, because we do have a copy. I must indicate that through my consultation here, there were two types of funds that were given to the Eastern Cape Rural Development Finance, UVIMBA. There was an initial 65 million that was given to the Eastern Cape for Ilimalitsima. That was targeted to the Eastern Cape. There was the 60 million that was given to the same institution that was targeted nationwide, but not to the specific province. The initial 65 was for them to run their Ilimalitsima, and the 60 million was to do projects that were not necessarily in the Eastern Cape. There was a couple of projects that were lying in a number of areas, but they were to manage and run those projects. So we'll give full details of that report. Which were the projects, how much was allocated, how much money was dispersed, and how much was not dispersed. We'll give that. In other words, you're not necessarily reporting on the Ilimalitsima now. Yes, I'm just giving an indication of what will be contained in the report.
Yes.
Honorable Snell?
Yes, and if I could, if I understand what is being said, is that Ilima was asked to look at national projects, the funding of those national projects. Just to be able to look at the act that established that entity and to see if that was within the competency of the entity in terms of the Act 2 question. Thanks.
Well, I just want the clarity on the 60 million that it was not for present necessarily in the Eastern Cape. Is it what the presenter said?
I think I want to advise that don't tempt the members to ask questions on this, because we agreed that we must get a proper report, you know. Let's not attack the sound bites, you know. Let's get a proper report so that we can engage properly on it. So I'm sure your report will take into account the issues that members are interested in. Thank you. If you can just go to other questions.
Thank you, Chair. We'll do so. There was a question on how do we check and monitor the beneficiaries. I will ask. We're gonna report. I will ask Mayor Mashlang to deal with that one, and then also the issue of the low uptake on those monies that are sitting with the beneficiaries. The one that I wanted to explain, Chair, on this table, there was an amount that is approved. The amount that is approved is the amount that we agree we will give to this institution. It is not necessarily the amount that you have given them. It's the amount that you say you will give. And you don't give them this money at a go. You give them and you monitor them and you give them. So you may realize that between what is approved and what has been transferred is not the same. Because you give them half and monitor their strength. If they are doing well, you transfer the next trust. But this is what has been approved to be given to them. But they don't necessarily get transferred all of it immediately. So that's the difference. And then, again, what has been dispersed, it means this is what the land bank has transferred to them. So this is the actual amount that sits in their account. That is what has been dispersed to them. As they use the money, you monitor them, you see they need more money, and the land bank transferred. What we say has been transferred and what has been dispersed also is not the same amount. Okay, because the money comes from the department, it goes to land bank, from land bank it goes to the institution. So we may agree that we're going to give you 100 million, and then we transfer 50% of that to the land bank, and the land bank says, no, we'll give you 6 million now and monitor you and see how you're doing. If you're doing well, they transfer everything and come back to us and say, this institution has finished their money, transfer the rest. And we do so. So that is the arrangement. That's why you see a lot of figures that are not the same. I just had to explain so that everybody knows exactly how it works.
I'm not sure whether you're not opening a can of worms. But if I may interrupt you, Honourable
Sir, you know, this page raised by the Honourable Gelderblom, which shows the amount transferred to the institution, this is not on the next slide, it shows the amount transferred, so in fact it's sitting with the institution, and the order. And then the amount disbursed for loans to date, that is by the institution, I presume. And that is where, you know, the actual amount disbursed is very low in terms of what has already been transferred to the institution. And this is what worries us, because that money is sitting there somewhere, and it could be used for the correct purposes or for other purposes, you know, I don't know. But really, this is what is of great concern to us.
I think we could move to the
It's kind of linked, but not exactly the same. The presenter was saying that the monies are transferred on a need basis, which we understand and we respect. But the need basis to what has been transferred is incorrect. If you look at, I mean, if 240 million transferred to the land bank, and from that they have transferred 66 million. 134 odd million rand. Yep. So how did that work? That's my point.
You know, this is the challenge. Now I'll give you a challenge. The challenge really that we have is that for me, for instance, I was once at the NCOP. I'm familiar with Mafisa as an inception of the Vatican. Not Mafisa, yeah, this one. So, from its inception, there have been challenges. So, I think that the question that the members are raising, you know, that. Honorable Snell says, you're saying that the money is transferred according to the needs. If you take, for instance, these ones, your South African Sugar Association and Free Trade Cooperative, so obviously from the word go, it has to fit what you're trying to say exactly. And it also raises some of the questions maybe that have not been raised, you know. You're saying it, and I don't know, you're saying Ms. Matang is responsible for monitoring and the evaluation. So many departments, they get these what we call the funds, they get allocated funds to transfer them to someone else. But in many instances, departments walk away. You wait for the this institution to provide a report or what. So, hence, the challenge that arose to this AgriPDE. I think it was part of that, to get the money, you transfer it, you walk away. You expect people at the end to bring you a report that says, no, the money has not been or we have extended the money has been utilized, we need some more. And people keep on looking for some more. What has the money bought? Nobody wants to call it really knows. I think that unless we get to that stage, but I think with previous experience, I'm sure now you will grow that. These beneficiaries, are they the real, what you call the beneficiaries? The question, another question came was whether the beneficiaries are the real beneficiaries, are your normal, what you call the countries, who every day would come to you. But let's give you a chance. We have the CFO that looks like wants to assist.
Okay, thank you, Chair, and thank you for questions from honorable members. Yes, as the DG has mentioned, I'm responsible for Mafisa. I will take some of the questions here. The honorable member has asked a question on the chair. Who checks the intended purpose of the fund? As we said earlier on, we accredit these institutions. There's a criteria that we are using to accredit them. So that criteria, we were looking at those institutions, financial institutions that are on the ground already, that have a reputation in terms of dealing with the small-scale credit. So those are the institutions that, to us, have passed the test that were already on the field already. The reason we're doing that, we're trying to minimize costs for the department in terms of us coming with new infrastructure. So we said infrastructure is there already, so let's use the existing infrastructure. Obviously, there was a committee that does the accreditation comprising of Treasury, the department, as well as Land Bank, and the DTI was finance were part of us looking at the, those institutions based on the set criteria. When we transfer, after the institution has been approved, we transfer money, they start now doing the process of giving credit to those emerging farmers. As the department, based on the agreement that we signed with them, on a monthly basis, we are doing monitoring on the ground. We go to their offices, the institutions, we take all the farmers that have been approved, we check them, their addresses and everything, for us to go and verify the information on the ground, to check exactly you've got the money that they said you applied for, how was the service, and check all those things. And one of the requirements for these institutions is that they open a dedicated account. Why? Because during the Agricultural Credit Board, we tried this scheme, but you find that you give the institution money, they use your money for their own purposes. So as a result, we've got a dedicated account where we can go and check that account. On a monthly basis, they give us a report to say who has been funded, and also they give us a bank statement to say, based on what we have transferred, here's the inflow and outflow of funds. So we've got that bank statement. On a quarterly basis, again, they give us those reports. And then, Honorable Chair, was also a question on beneficiaries. So these are new beneficiaries. On a monthly basis, you've got new beneficiaries who apply and get new loans. But some of them are repeat loans. So some are coming after they have repaid their loans to also for repeat loans. But the slides that we're showing here, most of them are new loans in those accredited institutions. And then the uptake, low uptake. We've got serious challenges with other institutions that we have accredited. Maybe I can cite an example of MADC. MADC, I think honorable members knows about it. It's a very credible development finance institution in Mpumalanga. But now they are merging. Those are the problems that they are giving us. We signed an agreement with them early in 2009. So now their uptake is very low because of their problems of merging. The GEP also is a Gauteng economic propeller. We signed an agreement with them. We have, as DD has said, those were already called on board so that we review their performance because we are not very happy.
Let's say
CFO. The question, CFO, are very simple. You give people based on their needs. Ms. Matlango says because they are credible. I wake up and I have this institution that is credible, but I don't have beneficiaries. So I say, can you give me money? Then you give me money. Then you go because you think I'm credible. But this government money is meant to benefit people who have a need out there, not for people to build their own coffers and generate profit out of this money. That is the questions that were raised. That's why I'm saying, so you're not helping us, man. We want someone who will help us. You gave, for instance, South African Sugar Association. What was the basis of giving? That's what the question is saying. What is the basis of giving this money to these people? You give them 50 million rand to do what with the 50 million rand? There are no beneficiaries. How you approve it, we can't hear, as Ms. Matlang is saying. We can't understand because there are no beneficiaries. I would have thought that the person would have come to you and say, look, we have a constituency. Here are people who need money. And then on that basis, you yourself, then you say, well, really there is a need here. So we can give you 50 rand. We can give you 2 million rand. Because you have, these people, they have nothing. So but you give them money to do what with the money?
Yes.
on that point, you know, the service level agreement should speak, because the budget is there to achieve a political objective. Now we're outsourcing our political objective to credible financial institutions that, with their political... Their political objectives might be very different to government's political objectives. So, in the service level agreement for transferring with money as well, what is there that's linked to your question?
I just want to make certain that we also received the agreements that were signed between institutions and the agricultural institution. We must also get copies. Is that agreement all on the same level? The second thing is, Chair, we are looking where it's overspent or underspent. If you look at that table, 240 million rand is transferred. Only 60.1 million is dispersed for loans to date. Now my view is, we want to know, and that's what you also asked the question, we want to know, every one of them, why did they not spend the full amount? That's huge. Cop Agri. They got 20 million rand, they spent only 2.9 million rand, 29 beneficiaries. Why? Why? Yeah, but they just come. So my view is, we want answers on every one of them and see also what is, why did they, why they such a huge. Thank you, Chair.
This is the whole objective of the difference between this committee and the portfolio committee. Portfolio committee deals with everything else that is in agriculture. But ours is to monitor the expenditure patterns, where we feel that the expenditure is not up to scratch. Because what we would want to do as we move forward is to say the question that we're asking ourselves as a committee that is responsible for appropriation is this allocation necessary? Does what we call should the Department of Agriculture get this money? Is it necessary? Is there a need for it? Because the expenditure will tell you that no, there's no need actually for this money. So let the resources, we're all dealing with limited resources. If we have resources that are given to people that cannot spend, so clearly, at the end of the day, the evaluation will say, but this department doesn't really need this money. Because it cannot spend it. It doesn't spend this money. I have an experience of the Mafisa. I'm just looking forward to the report, Litsima. I'm looking forward to the report on Friday because I've got my own experiences about it. I know what the challenge is there. But I want to hear. So, but this committee, we have now the Money Bills Amendment Bills, the Money Bills Amendment and Related Matters Act, Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. The objective of that is to give members of parliament the power to say whether you need those monies, the budget should be approved towards that or not. And you really, now, to me, to us, if we have a difficult to answer these questions, we'll not what the court insists, but we'll take a we'll arrive at a conclusion, because we can't gather what the court satisfaction in terms of exactly what is happening. but would want to really, I don't want us to belabor the point. If we're able to answer this question, we will do. If not, we will proceed to the next one to call a question. We ask the question, the approval, your processes of approval. Does someone just walk in there, ask for money, you give the money, and you walk away? Because the response is that with respect, Madam Mashang is giving, so I'm not assisting us. But you had your hand up as CFO. You want to help?
I wanted to clarify on the second page where we've got 50 people.
Where you have?
50 million.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I think the amounts have been approved, but there's no money that has been transferred yet. Now, on the others, on the first page.
Sorry, by the way, you missed
it. That's right.
Mr. Sajwan.
Yes.
You know, the challenge that we encounter with the department is to put figures on the expenditure side. These monies have been expended. So when we make our own balances in terms of what we have expended, we count that you have dispersed these monies. Yeah? But in reality, these monies have not been expended, they are sitting there in the bank, you know. So now, that is the difficulty that we have in teaching. That exactly, what is it that if we take your report now to Parliament, what are we going to say to Parliament? Because your report reflects that they've been approved, but not anywhere that says that, okay, money that has been transferred or what, okay, somewhere that has been transferred. That's why we're asking this question, that why do you give people who don't need this fund? And we were in the Eastern Cape, you know, farmers there, they're complaining about their having, I mean, if you drive in the Eastern Cape, we have a joke there, that watch, here are the robots with four legs, they're going to cross the road, because there are no fences. In other words, we think that those people need this money. There are no fences. The land is lying there, barren. There's no way that there's nothing that is being done about it. So, but there are funds that are sitting there. Honorable Dr. Rani, he said he's coming from Northwest. The issue that they raised there was around bureaucratization of this money being made available to people. So, we say, I don't know. If you're able to assist us, you will assist us. If not, it's fine with us. We'll come to that conclusion that we have not been able to get assistance in terms of how you disperse this money, because clearly we would not have invited you. We really would not have invited you. If the expenditure was 100%, 100%. And many people who are sitting with funds, they're not spent. They do that. They give the impression that the money has been spent. So I'm not sure you really want to help. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start by going back to what the DC said when he introduced me. And he said that I was responsible for setting up a one-stop shop, which was what the minister wanted done in the cabinet. And it was precisely for the same reasons that you have indicated here, where you have different fragmented funds which are not necessarily supporting each other, and they are actually negating the impact that one could be having on the other. The performance of MyFISA, if you look at it, for the financial year 2009-10, the total spending is at about 27%, and yes, we agree with you, that is poor. And it was for the same reason that there was a need to relook internally in terms of putting all these funds together. I was fortunate enough to, and maybe I must also state to the committee that the report that we are going to be providing on Friday would also include some of the improvements that has happened since January to July, because this is not a true picture in terms of where these intermediaries are sitting at as we speak today or as at end of July, because we did another quarterly meeting with them. The challenges that were raised had to do with a number of their business models, and we have grants and these are receiving loans. So one of their biggest challenges were that farmers were not willing to come forward to accept loans because they were looking at others getting grants. So those were competing priorities within the department. And what we have done since was to agree that the people who are dealing with the grants as well as the intermediaries will have to start working together such that you spread the pool in terms of the grants and also you lower the loans. What has now happened is that we have also relooked in terms of the performance, and one other question which was asked was the red tape. There's really no red tape where MACIS is concerned, but the issue was that people must now come and apply for a loan. But when they do come forward to apply for a loan, we are expecting business plans, but it's the responsibility of our service level agreement with the institutions to go down to the farm level and assist the farmer with a loan. So no one can be denied a loan on the basis that they do not have a proper business plan. And if you look at what the DG said when he opened, was that when we look at the performance, like at this point in time, as of end of July, Nerpo is sitting at 85% spending of their funds. Beulana is sitting at Nerpo. They are sitting at about this. I think the mistake also we did with this report is that it talks on 2009-10. But the intermediaries are not bound within an MTF cycle, as you know. And this was the performance as at end of 2009-10 in terms of our financial. But in the meeting that we had with them in January, the performance has actually improved. And one of the issues were the challenges in terms of grants and loans. The other ones were the fact that they had to protect their business models, because it meant they needed to have agricultural economies going down on site to assist the farmer with proper business plans, because the intention was not for a farmer to just get a loan, but we evaluate them also on the success of the farmer. And I would really openly welcome the committee to identify any intermediary and go out and and check on the beneficiaries that they have assisted. I think to a large extent, we have a good success story to be told, but we need also to tighten the spending of the funds, and I think we are getting there. For the poor performance which we have identified, we have MADC and Economic Propeller, which are really not performing according to standard, and we are Mpumalanga Development, Agricultural Development Corporation. And as Ms. Jeanette Mashangu has said, their challenge is that they are now going through a merger, and that stopped their performance because now a merger creates a lot of instability within the organization. So those we are sitting with them, and the focus with the high performance is that now that they have gained so much experience in this space and they are now known to be doing well, their repayments, if you look at the average, is 75%, but Beulana, for argument, is sitting at 96% repayment. So there's a good culture that is actually getting down to our smallholder farmers that says they are now becoming responsible loaners and they can repay their loans. So my appeal to this committee is that I think we have a good story coming, and what we will do with the report that we are presenting on Friday, we would not necessarily link it to the poor performance as at end of 2009, but we'll give you a true picture as at end of July, such that you can relook at how well they have performed this far.
Okay, so I guess it's done.
I just want to ask the question. I think the CEO says that what we are considering as a report is not a true picture in terms of this report, that the true picture will come on the report on Friday. Is that what he's stating as a fact? Because then we need to know what we're actually considering. Whether we should wait for the proper report to consider, or whether we just have to talk until we get the next correct report. I just want to get that clarity. Because if it is true that it's not a true picture, and the true picture will come. We probably are wasting a lot of time. But I don't want to get to that point until it's clarified what is said.
Before you come in, just allow
Okay, if we look at this slide here, you know, 66 million has been disbursed for less of an amount of 240 million already transferred, which is 27.5% of the money that's already been transferred has been used up to the end of that period. And I hear what the CEO has said. But what we should really be looking at is the 66 million against the 400. Sorry, But what we should really be looking at is the 66 million against the 420 million, because that 420 million, when we approve the budget in Parliament, that 420 million is in the budget. In other words, we say that's going to be an expenditure. And we say, you know, we've got to make sure that there's income to cover that expenditure, so we increase taxes so that we can cover that expenditure. But in the meantime, the money is just sitting somewhere and not being used, and we could have used it in better places. And this is the purpose of this committee. And I just want to repeat that in terms of that.
I think one of the members, I'll say, is at the beginning of the year, you asked to present a strategic plan, a period of plan for the year. How much do you need? What is it that we're going to spend this money on? I think that what the committee is saying, that we should not confuse that business plan that you present with the MTEF. The MTEF says, over this period of time, these are the kind of funding that you will look at. No? But if this year you've given 20 rand, the committee is saying it expects you to spend the 20 rand because you said you will need the 20 rand this year, not for the other time. So I think that is the distinction that is trying to be made here. That Ms. Lucia says, for instance, these institutions are not necessarily required to spend this money like within 1 year, you know. And that is the question that becomes problematic with the members, that if this money is in other words, it means, in other words, what she's saying in other words is that no. In other words, there was no agency for this money to be transferred to the department because once elsewhere, there are urgent needs elsewhere that could have been covered and this might not have been directed here because there's no need for it. It's not urgent on your side. That is what she is saying, you know. That's why then these questions are coming up. So that is the clarity that we should give.
Thank you, Chair. We hear the concerns of the committee. Hence, we were saying we've picked it up that we have a challenge. We with the land bank, with Treasury and Rural Development, we are shaping this into a thing that we call a one-stop shop. Because we know outside there is a need. But the money is sitting with us. It has a problem to go to those needy places. That's why we are reorganizing this whole idea so that it will have an impact. We are almost finalizing it now. We already had the presentation that the CEO has made the presentation to the three ministers and they have agreed. And this is the way we have to deal with it. So that's why we are saying we have picked it up, we have realized ourselves that we have a problem in dealing with the processes is at the moment. But what has come up now is that we are reporting the situation as is. What we may need to do is to come back here and report on what will be the way forward. How are we going to deal with the situation? How are we going to correct it? So that in the future, we are in a position to
make sure that money goes out and it has impact the way it's supposed to go. That's the plan that we are currently working with now.
On that note, I'm sure members do hear what you say. Maybe that's what we really need to be doing, because for now, it's clear that, I mean, it's good that you have identified the challenges yourself, so that we would like to get that the plan that you have to turn things around, so that we can really be sure that this money will reach those poor beneficiaries out there who are really looking to government to support them. But for now, so, out of members, I think that if we agree, let's come back to the question then. Does ILIM expenditure, is it part of this whole turnaround, what you call it, strategy?
Yes, Chair. The entire funding that goes to the department, that is CAF, Lemke, Ilima Litsima, AgriBEE, and Mafisa. So it's a group of five. All those that we are rearranging and see how we have to deal with that. There is still the question of the distressed farms that the CEO.
Okay, let's conclude on this one. We'll come to that. Just to get a way forward here. Is that you, it's all of us, and we had agreed earlier that by Friday we should get a report of Ilim Medicine. So where does what you're saying put us? Are we still going to be able to get this report on Friday? Uh-huh.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The report that we're going to give, according to our understanding, it's a report for the fourth quarter, 2009 and 10, which will give the status quo. Now, what we are requesting is that beyond that report,
okay,
can we also come and present a new plan to say this is how we want to deal with the situation, given the status quo here.
Honourable members, there it is. So, in other words, what the DG is saying is that this report would prefer that you present it, but can I propose that it be sent to us in writing? But we will invite the department on their turnaround, what they call the strategy, so that in case they come back, come October, looking for an adjustment, we should really be in a position to say, but if we adjust this fund upwards, what are you going to do with them? I'm sure the members will be sympathetic. Honourable Ramasaga?
Le two reflections and not two reflections. Good.
My understanding is saying, the DG is saying, look, we are presenting today the status quo, whether it's positive or negative, but this is how the things stand as we sit here today. But he's saying, well, we recognize the challenges that are facing us, and we are working out on a turnaround strategy that you would like to come and present to yourselves. So that is then the request that they are making, and in other proposals, I'm proposing as well. Let's accept this, given this opportunity to say to work on this turnaround strategy. That's why I was asking the question that in the what you're saying, does it include the ILIMA report that we're expecting to get on Friday? That's why I'm saying, no, please don't worry about coming, but send us in writing that report so that we can conclude this report for now. But it will be useful to get the turnaround strategy. We can agree as a committee that when do you want them to present that? Sure.
I just want to clarify my mind. Based on that explanation, do we as a committee take that this report is true reflection? It is a status quo report, and therefore it's a true reflection of the what the situation was as of April this year. First quarter that we're talking about.
The fourth quarter.
Up to March. So it is correct, this one. I just want to be clear about that, because this is the report we're having, and there was another information that is not true reflection of what the state is calling.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me say again, this is a correct reflection of the quarterly report, the fourth quarterly report. Yes. The reflection she was talking about is up to date. I think she mixed this report as up to date, end of July. Thank you.
Now it's fine. Then we agree. We will agree on the date. Maybe we may invite you for that date. You can agree that what type of time frame would you want us to give you in order to be able to be back to us? But we'll come back to that. Okay, you can continue then with other questions.
Thank you, Chair. There has been a question that was asked by the Honourable Member, Mr. Masakan, regarding the definition of the distressed farmers. Who are those distressed farmers? How much? What's the size of the farm? I happen to understand the dynamics of that because I have, as the DG indicated, been directly involved. But, Chair, before one provides an answer, it's important that we go through that historical analysis to understand maybe why the agricultural sector in South Africa is facing such challenges, and over and above that, how those challenges have led to the situation we're finding ourselves in. And that's important. South Africa has struggled to have an integrated rural development strategy for years. And unfortunately, the decisions and what appear to be policies or strategies have been done ad hoc. And there are a couple of examples that indicate that. Chair, I will just go over that, then I'll come back to an answer. Those strategies that have been done ad hoc have left, especially the emerging farmers, the new black farmers that are coming to the market, in a very envious situation, whereas, in fact, all the farmers are struggling. But with them, because of their balance sheet, they're facing even more problems. You know, the amendment of the Land Bank Act 2002 changed the processes and the operations of the bank, opening it all up in the market, and it cut all the assistance it used to get from government. So the land bank had to rely directly to the market, to borrow from the market. But that is not all. The support structures that were there were abandoned or were left. That has to do with agricultural credit boards, marketing boards, all the structures that were created to insulate and assist the farmers. and all of a sudden farmers have to find themselves standing all by themselves. Of course, the shenanigans that took place at the land bank did not help the situation. So that's a picture that should understand why we're having the problems that we are currently having. Firstly, let's get to understand who are the distressed farmers. These are farmers that had borrowed money from the bank. But, unfortunately, the money that had been lent to them had been borrowed from the market. But let me give you the process of struggling farmers within the land bank. And this is again reflected in the Land Bank Act of 2002. Within 3 months, if we are not paying, the bank, through the credit policy informed by Land Bank Act, had to put you in an arrears section. In an arrears section, we are supposed to have an interaction with the institution. They come to you and they say, we are struggling, what should we do? Can we help you? After 3 months to 6 months, that is transferred to what is called workout and restructuring. Workout and restructuring is when it's obvious that your finances do not allow you or cannot permit you to service the debt. Then they look at your portfolio and see how can they structure it. They can extend the maturity and reduce the interest, or they can give you a grace period of three, four months or so for you to build yourself up. And this is the third one. The third one is pre-legal. On pre-legal is when we are saying, what can we do? Well, you are really in trouble, and now we're lacking opportunities. Come and talk to us. Let's see the solution. That will take almost a year or 2 years. Then the last one is the legal. The legal at the bank, because of all the policies and policies, what credit and the Land Bank Act, it takes roughly 2-3 years. That is when the bank would have to go to court and repossess your property. Now that's the process. Now there are quite a number of farmers, especially emerging farmers, that's right. That 146 million you're talking about is not a full amount. The total amount of the farmers that we needed to help is roughly about 208 million. Those are emerging farmers who have gone through the whole process. And those that are legal, the average age of those people, of them having started to pay the bank, is 6 years. The majority of them started in 1999, 2000, because we took the large majority, 2001, 2002. That's the life change. But now, because the land bank, for it to own land, it has to ensure that it improves its balance sheet. It found itself in a very peculiar situation in the sense that for the investor to own land to the bank or to lend to the bank had to clean its book. Hence, we started with a repossession. And that created a lot of frustration, because a government entity appear to have worked against the government policy. Here in this house, in Parliament, the Minister of Agriculture, Rural Development, and Finance were then asked to look at this strategy. What's the best way of dealing with this challenge? We then called in the three departments, Finance, Agriculture, Rural Development, and the Land Bank, and the Minister requested that we undertake a strategy that will try to assist this farmer. Now, the first thing that was clear is that when you're talking to all the emerging farmers, they have one big problem. Before I go there, an emerging farmer can come and borrow money, let's say borrow 1 million rand. Out of that 1 million rand, 700 is for the land. Then 300 is for production. We are therefore expecting this farmer to spend, to use 300 rand money to service a loan of 1 million. Because the mortgage does not, it's an asset, but it doesn't generate income. Now, with both the deal in oxygen commercial pharma struggling, and without any government support, it created an environment where the emerging pharma struggled even more. The first point was then the minister said, find a solution that will assist the farmers. Find what are the challenges facing the farmers, the emerging farmers. Of course, there are three major things and everyone will talk about it. Access to finance, access to the market, and the third one is aftercare service. Then we created what we call the value chain financing model. I'm speaking right here because the minister, I think they were meeting, this meeting 2 weeks time, and they will be coming here to explain it. But I think just on top. That value chain financing model will assist the farmers by providing that aftercare service, by talking, land bank and the department, talking to the market, the agricultural market participants, saying what is required, what is the demand. We have to put us in the bag. And I've spoken to quite a number of commercial farmers and other agricultural companies, and they are willing to help. But thirdly, South Africa has got a lot of expertise in agriculture. We just need to coordinate. What it means is that for the first time, you have the department and the land bank and the finance coming up with what I assume would be a consolidated strategy that we see as the start, the beginning of the rural development strategy. Now, going back to the question, Jeff, what does distressed farmers mean? This is a term which is not new. The financial term of a person that can't save is a debt. You reach a certain stage where you are a distressed customer. The bank and any other institutions will give you an option whether they can, they see whether they can resuscitate you, or unfortunately, they have to repossess or close the loan or write it off. So, the distressed farmers, this amount of 146 is a small amount. There's also a contribution that will be coming from the Department of Rural Development. But importantly, once we have resuscitated these farmers, then the land bank will be able to own land back to them. But this time, it's not just giving money. It's to ensure that we have infrastructure around, support structure. We know we have expertise that can be used, the type of soil that they have, and what they can produce in all related things. That's what we contribute to. So I have explained what are those distressed farmers. The size of the farmers. What is the size of this farmer? We are talking about 205. That's a small pool. Because if you're taking the developing portfolio of the land bank, which is growing now, but last year it was sitting up at 1 billion, out of that, you have about 500 million that is not performing about 50% or something, which is a concern. But I must highlight here in this house that there are those farmers that are capable to pay, that are not paying. They choose not to pay. Now, it is therefore important. The minister said, before we can put in a mechanism and a system that will help, we should make sure that we only have, we help only those that can be helped, that are shown in effort. In line with that, the Department of Rural Development, the Department of Agriculture, and Land Bank officials, they went through these 205 farmers to ascertain and determine whether these farmers need help. We still have a large number that is pre-legal. Out of that, we broke them down into four categories. The first one is a group of those that are not willing to pay. They just sit on the site and they are expecting government to come and help. That's about 50 million. Those are not going to pay. We're going to write home a letter and we will proceed with the legal. And we know some of these farmers, when there was a legal process going on, they started paying. And when they heard that government was willing to assist, then they started, they stopped paying. So it's roughly about 27, 30 farmers that can pay. You know, the infrastructure, everything is doing very well. Then you have a second layer. That is very close to this one, for a piece of 165 million. Those are the farmers that have been helped by government that are really trying to to make a lot of effort in ensuring that their farms do produce. They can work, they can have 100 hectares and they're only working on 8 hectares or all related things, but there's an effort. Now, government should not throw in money. We have learned a great deal. What those farmers and the ministers, that's what they would have to they would have to convince cabinet and parliament. They would have to let go of the ownership of the farm back to the Department of Agriculture so that they pay something. They are given a space of practice upon which the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Bank, with the access from outside, will try and resuscitate them. And they are not going to pay any loans to the land bank for those 5 years, just to build them up. After 5 years, if they've done well, then they can pay in full the loan, or they can do it in other ways. That's a second layer. Then there's a third layer of farmers. A number of farmers that have been doing so well about 10 years back, and I think Dr. Ram was talking about those, the honorable member, have been left fallow. There are no people in those farms, and there's nothing that can be done. So, for those farms, unfortunately, the land bank, assuming the ministers agree, will have to repossess those farms. Those farms will go back to the hands of rural development, and land bank will have to put money to resuscitate those farms. The third part is the history of those farms. Some of them were doing very well. And we have lost quite a lot of money where you find that the farms that have been sold by the land bank. We have not followed through, and the equipment and everything has been vandalized themselves. And some of them have been leased outside. But there has not been any payment for 10 years. So that, in a nutshell, is a story that we are providing. The beginning of the rural development strategy, the working together of government entities, which is the land bank, together with the department, in trying to deal with this issue. And the ministers see this as a starting block on rural development, on which we can see what we're talking about. We actually to see consolidation of all these funds and the known that the land bank does into a package that is designed to deal with the rural farmers, I mean with the native farmers. Ultimately, the ministers have indicated that, but they see it growing better. So, what is an answer? The answer, and the ministers will are the better people to argue or to talk about it, would be the creation of an entity, or not an entity, of a system that resembles that of the Agricultural Trade Board. And if you are looking around the world, you will note that when the market forces were coming in the late 90s, government wanted to open the market, but they remained with the farmers. They didn't open their own market. Stayed on the side. And unfortunately, for us at that time, we opened our policies and the government stood on the outside and the land bank again, opened up everything and stood on the outside. Does this justify the occurrences that have taken place at the land bank during the past 4 or 5 years? No, it doesn't. But those are two parallels. We can work on the policy front and we can deal with corruption that has taken place at the land bank, which we are working very hard on.
Yeah, just to round up, the plan that we come up with when we are called, it will pick up to say deregulation that happened in agriculture was actually to the disadvantage of the entire industry. How do we deal with it? How do we? Because currently the systems are piecemeal. If he finances, he doesn't take care of the market, and somebody else must make sure whatever you have produced gets to the market. And the market is open. It's in the hands of the private sector. You can't bring on board your group of farmers. So those are the things that we are saying you are dealing with now, are the ones that will come and present and say, this is how we want to deal with the entire situation, from funding to marketing. Either national marketing or exports. So we'll work in the entire presentation so that when we present it here, we can then open it to debate and hear what are your views in terms of that.
Thank you.
But that is what we want to come and present. Thank you. Thank you. Honourable members, you heard the response. But if I may just get clarity, in our start of this distress summons does not include those farms that were bought on the land restitution program. Are they part of this program?
Some of them they are. And the Minister of Rural Development has indicated that each case would be weighted on its own merits. Because some of the funds that were got, that were obtained through the land restitution have been left idle and nothing has ever taken place there. So it will be better to go back. Now I'm sitting on what is perceived to be a right move by the Minister of Rural Development and the Department. But they will get it back into their balance sheet, then they will resuscitate it. That's been the intention. There are different forms of funds that have benefited from restitution. There are those where government came in and offered one tractor and maybe some couple of bags of fertilizer and everything. And of course, people went under. But you find them still living, you know, producing some small stuff at a cost. There are those where communities came in and they started fighting and nothing was ever produced. And unfortunately, the whole infrastructure came up. That's the second group. There's a third group that is trying as much as possible, still using the facilities that the Department of Agriculture has provided. So each of those cases would be looked at differently. But what is important now, Chair, is that it's not the land bank that will decide how we deal with farm A, farm B, farm C. It's all the departments. We write a report for each farm and we say this is what should be done on this farm. And the Minister of Rural Development has been clear that whatever decision we make, it should not appear to be working against the government policy.
To add, it is not only those that are sitting in the land bank. We are currently sitting with the other major financial institutions because some of these farmers who got land through land reform went to borrow money to the other financial institutions. Some of them are standing liquidation currently. We had to come in and see how we deal with this situation. So we're saying in this model, it will be a model that works beyond land bank, also brings on board the other financial institutions so that we are able, all of us, to agree so that when a bank funds any farm, they know where the product is going. They know what kind of product is going to be planted. So those are the things that we want to, because the system was so open that everybody did what they like, and now there's a challenge of dealing with the situation. So we don't want this problem to resurface again in another future to say, but why was this situation allowed to proceed? And because these financial institutions now wants to liquidate them, and that is the unfortunate situation that we have to always come in and help. We are discussing with them now.
We want to
talk. Yeah, I think it's quite useful what the DC is raising, and perhaps we don't have the time to engage with that, because one would have an interest to understand the magnitude of the problem that you're raising, because you're just giving a little bit snippets of it. I think that perhaps because that magnitude would also result into money that you talk about. What is the money that you need in order to resolve that particular problem within that strategy that you are raising? So perhaps at some point we would need to have some engagement around that particular specific issue including explanation of the 205 farms that are in that particular definition, because that also needs a little bit of interaction with it itself. So I think that I have an interest that maybe at some point we need to get back to that discussion, because I don't know whether the report itself will be comprehensive enough to cover this input around this three kind set of problems that you've already gone through. But if not, we will probably have to visit that issue again, because I think the issue about the farm, particularly small farmers, farmers in distress, is a critical issue in dealing with the issue of poverty looking forward. So I think it's a matter that we'll have an interest to interact with. Thank you.
Yeah, now you, Honorable Masakam, you did indicate that the time is not necessary on our side. And I think that it's a broader, what you call it, matter that we'll be raising. I, other members, I would like to, we would like to conclude with this meeting today. But just to say to the department that normally in our meetings we try to ensure that we don't demand integration from your side only, we do it from our side as well. But you may appreciate the fact that the effects of the World Cup are still with us. Our idea is that when we deal, for instance, with agriculture, the Agriculture Portfolio Committee should as well be represented, you know, world development, those kinds, so that we come up with some kind of a proper, what you call it, approach. But be that as it may, in Parliament, the past 3 weeks have been for committees, and committees have been all over the show. I'm sure they must have visited you and those kind of things. Ourselves, you heard from members that also all over the show. Our resolution was that, one, we will get a report on the Ilima-Lizima campaign, probably by Friday. Two, we agreed that that report will be submitted to us in writing. Two, we agreed that we will invite you again for this turnaround process. Because to all of us, and I think that is the emphasis that Mr. Hadele keeps on making, but in fact all of you keep on making, that the ministers are saying this, we are in the same boat with the minister. That the funds that are really targeted to address certain needs, that they are able to do that. And where they are not able to do that, it's important upon Parliament to find out why is it that they are not able to do that. What is it that is being done? What can be done also to address those issues? And it is on that basis that we think that we will speak to you maybe in the near future, so that all of us can understand the strategy that you want to come up with. But then the last thing that you informed us, if I'm right, Mr. Hager, is that even with the investigations that are taking place within the Masisa, you're hoping that by October you should be able to roll. It is my... or is agri-BEE should be able to run. But it's clear that, with the experience that is there with the agri-BEE, clearly, you have indicated that new monitoring mechanisms have to be put in place so that we know that these funds are directed to the goals that they were intended to, and nothing else. Our job as this committee is very simple: is to monitor that expenditure, but also to ensure that there's value for money. You know, we're meeting you at a time when everybody is speaking about the credit crunch and what, and I think that all the departments have submitted to the minister and the Minister of Finance in terms of where they think that they would like to make savings. I mean, where they think that there could be what you call a savings. So also savings will also go with efficiency in terms of what we're doing. Sometimes it's a freeway, you know, even a freeway, there are rules. You don't drive more than 120 kilometers per hour. We have to keep the distance between the cars. So there are rules. So it's clear that all of us have to ensure that we abide by those rules. I think that on that note, I'd really like to thank you very much. But that's through DBSA. I was at the Development Bank of Southern Africa on Friday. If the leadership of DBSA had said to me, that at that time it's given me clarity, I don't think that in the context of the savings that we're talking about, I would have allowed you to come to Cape Town. Well, it was not what you call proper race. So on that note, I would like to allow you, Bamthabetse, Nebandla, to go for today, but just request the members to remain. Thank you very much. Thank you.
the back.
Awsem. Eh bani bavalile lapha foni. Mama bathu kumandela noma bona ngalile adini izuma.
Akwenzeke.
Yanga na bani bani bekhosathu abo. Koni pandi futhi lapha nje zwe yabo. Ya, yakhonzwa nje ngibona bani bavalile ngingakwazi nokuphuma.
Yayi phela ngoba dipendini.
Ah, bazikhulela. Nawe ngathi kuzojoin umathu. Eyaphina yabo. Ah, that's a man, Hayi into yabo umlisteni ke kuzayiluza. Uyazibona umlisteni ke kuzayiluza. Kaloku akakazi uyiluza yakhona. Qha ke uyayibomba i-percentage yakhe iyetha khona. Oh, fantastic. Ngokuyakomba ezo nto zizawufike kwi-public ke ngoku ezakomba makahlinga ukuseini not that into yekhupha abaleke zaa nto kwenzela ifika ifike
ya
no zonke ubhrenki bezithengile imali So I call the wound food by the best thing. Yeah, what? Yeah. And then you know in a stamp, but I might sit down. I want a bra. So I found no join a party, so good, yeah, from 1912. Yeah, boy. The same as structures, Mindo, yeah, boy. So I went in my corner, but I Ukala end up from scratch, it's too much for zone. Yeah, boy. Because no one, you form a ship branch, is the Uti in a condom there, yeah. This is too much, yeah, boy. So it's not an easy thing. So
Let's see, right top, and the NN, over there,
Yeah. Okay. I actually the agriculture and land bank.
Oh, agriculture, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. No spring. Yeah, my fees. Committee on appropriation. Yeah, that's the approp. You can't. Yeah. Right, you know, mustn't. Yeah. So soon, print it. Like, then we either buy it or whatever. So this was only two presentations. Center for the book. I've got an award there.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
For my kiddie short story.
Oh, I have to know that. Just give me a list of physical references and I can check it out the library.
Yeah, because it's a proper book.
Okay.
You won't be able to read it.
Okay, but I maybe, you know, you need to promote this book because a lot of children need books to read. And,
yeah. So it was for Masumina Children's Literature.
Yeah.
So it's a short story which they converted into a book.
Oh, wonderful.
Pictures, okay.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. In the presentation, it is jointed, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. People sign all the way from Pretoria to represent them for us and they're just feeling.
I'm going to go to the hotel.
Okay, bye-bye.